Chris Miles was able to retire twice by the time he was 39 years old. But he's not content to just enjoy his own financial freedom and peace of mind. Chris wants you to have your own ripple effect so you can live free today. He's not the financial advisor you expected. He's the anti-financial advisor you deserve. He's jumping behind the mic right now, ready to make waves. Here's Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Hey, I want to welcome you out for a wonderful show that's for you and about you. Those of you that work so freaking hard for your money, and you're ready for your money to start working hard for you now. You want that freedom. You want that cash flow, that prosperity today, not 30 or 40 gazillion years from now, but right now, right? So you have that life that you love, doing what you love, being with those that you love. And like I say, right here in the slide, right back here, it's live your life now, not tomorrow, right? It's all about having that prosperity and freedom today. But on top of that, it's more than just your own comfort and convenience. It's about you being a rippler by creating a ripple effect through the lives of others, for those around you, as well as your family, creating a legacy that lasts well beyond you. And so guys, I'm excited to have you guys here, excited that I can create my ripple effect for you. And trust me, it's such a pleasure. I got the best, coolest listeners ever. Even though I know my guests here might disagree, definitely you guys are awesome. As a quick reminder, just check out our website, moneyripples.com. We got the free ebook Beyond Rice and Beans you can download for free. Also, if you haven't done so, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Go ahead and check that out, as well as if you haven't subscribed to this podcast show, do so as well. Hey, are you looking for another great podcast to listen to? One about investing and not only just investing, but learning about cool deals like investing in apartments that does not require you to have to be an accredited investor or have $1 million. Hey, if you want to check that out, go check out my friend Lane Kawaoka's site, simplepassivecashflow.com. He's got a great podcast also called Simple Passive Cashflow that you can check out on YouTube, iTunes, or whatever your favorite podcast app is. If you want some great education and to learn about great ways to invest in other types of deals without, again, needing a ton of money, check it out, simplepassivecashflow.com, or look up Simple Passive Cashflow on YouTube or your podcast app. Check it out. All right, today, so I got a special guest here that I met actually from another podcast show. So I don't know if you guys ever follow this show, Investing in the U.S., but great show to follow. But my guest here is okay. And I just thought, it's Goossens, right? Is that how you pronounce it?
That's it.
Okay. I just want to make sure I don't mess it up. So we'll make sure in editing, we'll cut that little snippet out. Okay. All right. So on my show today, I've got a special guest, Reed Goossens here. Now, Reed is a real estate investor. He's the best-selling author, entrepreneur, podcast host, like I mentioned, and everything. Reed, in 2012, actually quit his job in Australia and moved halfway across the globe to here in the U.S. to change his life and chase a dream. Now, he had limited funds, no investing experience, and no credit. Yet, he went from purchasing a small duplex to growing his own real estate investing firm, which is called Wildhorn Capital. He now syndicates large multi-million dollar deals across the U.S., and he's also achieved financial freedom as taking control of his life. And as I mentioned, he's a podcast host of this show, The Investing in the U.S. So, Reed, welcome to our show.
G'day, Chris. Thanks for having me, mate.
Absolutely. So, I really want to bring you on because I want you to get rid of the crappy excuses that Americans make, right? And I'm sure you've heard it too, because you have your own investment syndication and things like that you have people invest in, and you probably hear different stories, but why here? Like, why did you come to the US?
Yeah, good. Well, two things. It was the chasing of two different loves. One love was for New York City, and the other love was for a girl that's now my wife. So that was the two original reasons.
That's a big motivation right there.
Exactly. And for me, mate, it was, if you rewind the clock, I actually came through the United States back in 2009, and I backpacked through New York, and I really fell in love with the city. And the whole impetus of moving to the United States was, at the time, I'd met this incredible girl who was American named Erica, and she's now my wife. And she moved out to Australia for a period of time. And then at the end of 2011, I said, look, screw it. Let's go live in New York City. And really for me, moving to the United States was just to be an expat and live and work in a new city and not be a tourist and try and be a local for a couple of years and then move back to Australia. But obviously things took a different path for the good. And I'm sure we'll get into that here in a minute.
Yeah. And let's just go with that. Like, what led you down this path? Because I mean, most people just say, great, I'm going to work here and then go back. But what kept you here?
Yeah, look, before coming to the United States, I'd spent some time abroad in London and in south of France, working, just having an incredible couple of years backpacking and working as a structural engineer. That's what my background is. And that was in 2008, 2009. I returned back to Australia in 2010 and, you know, I'm sitting in my cubicle, a couple of years out of uni, had a couple of years of commercial experience under my belt as an engineer, but just really feeling like, you know, I'd more to give. You know, how can someone pay me to live my life and travel the world and surf awesome waves and have a good time, right?
Right.
And that was really where I sort of said to myself, well, hey, I can't see myself sitting in this cubicle for the rest of 40 or 50 years of my life. Like, there's got to be more to life than this. And at the time, I had no idea what the word entrepreneurship meant or what an entrepreneur is. And really, it's just a glorified word for a small business owner, right? And so when, fast forward a little, a couple of months, I picked up the book Rich Dad Poor Dad in early 2010. And that was the real story for me that really sparked the intuition within inside me to go and want to do more and be more. And that's where I started to think about real estate. And for me, real estate was a natural path, being a structural engineer, rubbing shoulders with developers, building stuff across the globe. And I said, hey, this is my path. And I started self-educating in Australia. And then, you know, fast forward a year and a half later to the end of 2011, I was going to do some property in Aussie, you know, fix and flipping or lease options. But then I also really had a real desire and passion to move to the United States. And at that time, Erica and I were just starting to get our relationship off the ground. And she had come to Australia and studied her master's degree. And then that master's degree finished and she had to return back to the United States. And I said, hey, I'm going to come along with you. How's about we move to New York City and give this thing a crack and just see what that's like. And right. I rocked up without a job. And as the intro says, no limited funds. No, I didn't even know what the hell a credit score was. And that was, that's the start of coming to America.
So how do you even start investing in real estate, especially when you had no money or very limited money, right? No credit, you know, no, so to speak, right? I mean, you had Australian credit, but not US credit, which is two very different things.
100%. Yeah. So for me, the big thing was, it was the access to information here in the United States. Like, I was blown away at the different, and particularly being in New York City, right? Like, it was the epicenter of fast talking, loud Americans, you know, talking about the investing lingo. And I think within 2 weeks being fresh off the boat, I had found some networking events to go to. If you've never heard of this, it's called the REIA Associations, the Real Estate Investment Associations. And they're across, you know, every major MSA. And I was like, wow, this is incredible. Like, so much incredible content for 20 or 30 bucks at the door. And it's across the nation. Like, we didn't have that in Australia. And I was like, oh my God, I wish I had this in Australia. So this whole, like, wow, this is really incredible. Plus also realizing that I was surrounding myself with other people who were aspiring to be bigger and better and do more. It was also, you know, it was really inspiring to me to say, hey, I can push my boundaries. You've already moved halfway across the world. You already got a job. You just moved in with this new girl and started, you know, living together. That was a challenge in itself. And from there, I just kept pushing those boundaries. And I quickly realized as well that the barriers to entry in secondary and tertiary markets here in the United States were so much lower than the barriers to entry in Australia. And that's exactly what Rich Dad Poor Dad talks about, is cash flow. So with the, again, no credit, and I had a bit of money saved up. And at this point, I'd been sort of self-educating for about 2.5 years now. It's middle of 2012. And I remember standing on the subway on the way to work with my nose stuck in a book, reading about, you know, analyzing small cash flowing properties. And I said, look, man, I've got to get involved. I've just got to stop the learning. You've got analysis paralysis. Let's get and just go buy a little property. And it's your money. If something goes wrong, you know, it's your money. You're not no one else to blame but yourself.
Right.
And I found these properties in upstate New York and Syracuse. And the reason I chose Syracuse was because I could get on a Greyhound bus and within 4 hours, I'd be up there. I'd tour a few properties on a Saturday, get back on the bus and be home for a few beers with the boys on Saturday night and you know, all in one day. And that was the start of it, right? And again, my whole, you know, thing about moving to the United States and trying to live life, as you put it in the beginning, like on your terms, is that I fear regret. And I would never want to wake up when I'm 70 or 80 years of age and go, geez, I wish I moved to America, you know, all those years ago. And so for me, it's all the decisions I've kind of made till this point have really been, you know, assessing the risks that are involved in the worst case scenario. And if you're okay with those worst case scenarios, we'll move forward with the decision. Don't stop. Don't sit on the fence and have analysis paralysis and don't do anything. And so for me, It was, okay, I'd already moved here. I'd already made this huge commitment to move to the United States. Buying a little property in upstate New York with my own money was just, you know, that was easy. And the thing for me is I realized you don't get to deal number 10 without doing that first deal. And that was so, so important to me in my growth. So, yeah.
You know, you're not alone. I know a lot of people listening right now run into that analysis paralysis. They're probably, they're actually not even just an analysis paralysis. They're probably in podcast paralysis, right?
Yes.
Where they've listened to 10, 12 different shows, all talking about some of the same stuff that you're talking about here, but they just fear that first step because they're like, well, what if I do it wrong? What if I mess up? You know, what would you say to them having been in that position yourself? Like what really was that impetus to push you over the edge?
I think at the end of the day, you have to be okay with betting on yourself because that's what it boils down to. You're taking a bet on yourself. And if you can't bet on yourself, who the hell can you bet on? And that's really the permission that you give yourself to say, I'm worthy enough to go out and take a bet on myself. Right. And so many people are afraid to open the door or to push that boundary because they're worried about what's going to be on the other side because of the failures or what people might say.
Right.
Get over that. Like you have to learn to get over that type of stuff. Or if you're really stuck in it, sit with it for a period of time. Think, what is the worst case scenario right now? For me, the moving to America, if it didn't work, I'd move back to Australia with my family and get another civil engineering job. That's it. That's the worst case scenario. Okay. Well, at least I gave it a go. At least I was able to live in the United States and in New York for maybe six months. That was it, right? Buying my first property. It was, I'd already done the work. I understood as much as I needed to understood. And I was going to go risk my own money. And the worst case scenario is I lose it all. Well, it's my own money. And I'm not any worse off. I've got a job and I can still keep the bills paid. So for me, it's all about assessing that sort of worst case scenario. And if you're okay with it, go forward. Now, don't get me wrong. There's been learning curves along the way and there's been bumps and bruises and, you know, scratched knees and all that sort of stuff. But it's about knowing that you're not going to get to where you want to go without taking action. Because as you said, there's so many people out there listening to the podcast, and that's great. I listen to podcasts every single day, but I'm also constantly taking action every single day. Even the little, most incremental steps, I'm pushing that boundary. And over an extended period of time, you'll realize that boundary has grown a heck of a lot. And you've started to do so much more than what you ever thought was possible. And for me, sitting here on this podcast, I never even dreamt of achieved what I've achieved today when I first moved to this country. I was literally just coming here to be an expat. And but what I got good at was betting on myself and stop worrying about what's on the other side of each and every door and just go and start opening doors and seeing where that leads you to. And that's all it is, living in the moment. Obviously being educated and making the right decision or making educated decisions and analyzing the risk and moving forward and stop sitting on the fence. So yeah.
I love it. Now, after that, did you just go hog wild and start buying a bunch of properties or did you kind of sit with it for a while and just kind of keep going?
Well, no, for me, it was, deal number one got me to deal number two, which got me to deal number three, which I had a small little portfolio of properties. I realized I was getting to the end of my tether from a lending point of view. And it was through a couple of conversations with some very good friends of mine in late 2013 that were, I was boasting to them about the seven little houses or units I had. But I was still working full time like a dog, not financially free. And they were telling me, well, man, I just closed on a 70 unit deal in Canada, which is where they're from. And I my jaw was on the ground. I said, 70, how the hell did you do that? They told me about a mentor. They told me about other people's money. They told me about seller carryback financing. And really the business model was all the same stuff that I was doing on my small triplexes and duplexes. They were just doing it on a large scale multifamily project. And for me, that was really when I needed to go and say, hey, again, re-betting on myself and saying, you are worth investing in yourself. Let's go get a mentor, someone who can be your coach and your sounding board in order to launch you off into, the stratosphere, whatever that stratosphere looks like. So that was the next step in the evolution of where we're going with that. Furthermore, I then said to myself, well, if I've got to be in this country before, and the only reason I can stay in this country is because I needed a visa. And so I needed a job, right? But I was also I had the skill set being a structural engineer to say, hey, I could go work for a developer. If I'm going to have to be in the corporate world for the next 4 or 5 years, why not continue to learn from the best in the business whilst growing my side hustle? And that's exactly what I did in 2014 when I made the shift to LA. I just literally was pinging a bunch of developers and say, hey, I'm a structural engineer. I know I've got skills that you will need. someone reached out and said, yes, love to have you on board. And I ended up going building high-end luxury multifamily housing in Long Beach, California, whilst building my side hustle, whilst building my own podcast and all that sort of good stuff. But I was surrounded by real estate 24/7 and it became part of my DNA. And that was the most important thing that I wanted to get out of that, knowing that I wouldn't be financially free within 6 months or even 2 months or even 5 years, you know? So for me, I only got to financial freedom, quote unquote, be able to leave my day job when I got my green card. And that was in 2017. That's nearly, you know, eight years later after picking up the book, Rich Dad Poor Dad. So it takes time. It wasn't an overnight success. And again, success is relative because I've still got so much more I want to achieve in the next decade, but I know the last decade's been pretty freaking awesome. So I'm going to enjoy the ride.
Yeah. You know, I love the theme that keeps coming out is you're betting on yourself, right? And I think if you're thinking of any asset class to bet on, real estate is a much easier one to bet on than like the stock market. You know, sure. So people listening right now, I guarantee all of them to some level or another has probably bought a stock or a mutual fund or something, or, you know, put their money in a 401k or some retirement plan, which they have zero control over. They can do nothing about it. They're seriously at the mercy of the market. But then they say, well, I just don't know about buying a real property that has real value. I mean, that seems risky to me. I'd rather buy something that has no real value to it, you know?
Right.
It's kind of a weird backwards world that we live in, right?
Exactly.
So, well, let me ask you this one question here. I mean, why haven't you taken this and applied it back in Australia? You know, like, why aren't you going to deals there?
Yeah, so good question. And here's the thing. I will eventually, right? The skills that I've developed here in this country can be applied across the world. There's real estate in every single country. Every human needs is food and shelter, right?
Yeah.
The nuances between Australia and the United States, for those people who are taking notes back home, but is actually, you know, and I can talk a little bit about it if you want, is the fact that the Australia and the US, excluding Alaska from a landmass point of view, just mainland America, mainland Australia, give or take, America's a little bigger, but in Australia, we can only inhabit about 18% of our land because the rest is just a desert, right? Here in America, you can inhabit north to south to east to west. You have 300 odd million people. We only have 25 million people in Australia.
Right.
So when you have that limited land available to inhabit, it's all constrained around the coasts. So it's all a very high demand, low supply type of market. So think of LA, New York, San Francisco. That's the Australian real estate market. Not a lot of cash flow, but a lot of appreciation in the right circumstances.
Sure.
Then bring in the population aspect, right? Mm-hmm. You've got nearly 10 times the amount of population we have in Australia. And thus it also forms different lending opportunities. So we don't have the Freddie and Fannie Mac, you know, agency debt, you know, 30 year fixed low rate stuff in Australia. We only have maybe four or five major banks. Here in America, you've probably got a couple of hundred different lending arms. With that lending, we won't call it lack of sophistication. We'll just call it different lending. We don't have multifamily in Australia. So we have a build to sell model. We don't have a build to rent model. So you wouldn't find a 200 unit garden style apartment in Australia. You might find a small sixplex, but we have really condos, big high rises are built. And because of the we'll again call it the lack of sophistication of funding, the banks say, well, hang on, we're not going to fund this development until you pre-sell 30% of the units off the plan, which means it's a condo market, right? It's very similar to Canada. So they won't go and say, okay, you're going to have an NOI on this entire, you know, 200 unit property, and thus we can determine the value, and thus we'll lend on that future value. They're saying, no, we want to minimize the risk. You got to go pre-sell 30-40% off the plan. And that's the market we're in. So when I moved to America, you know, to see that one, you got this incredible financing, two, you've got these secondary and tertiary markets that have still have continued growth and moderate cap rates, and three, you have multifamily apartment buildings. I wouldn't have achieved what I could have achieved here in America in Australia. Been saying that, I can still go buy hotels and commercial buildings and office space and use the benefits that I've learned here, which has made me a real, you know, sharpshooter to go back. And I will eventually in the future go back. But right now, America's such a big GDP compared to Australia. You know, I think the GDP of all of California and Texas, two major states, is more of that than all of Australia. So when you think about that, you know, it's just, it's on a different, you know, it's a different league. So applying my trade here, I eventually will move back because I have family there in the future. But right now, I'm really enjoying my journey here. And I guess that's a little bit of the differences between Australia and the United States.
Yeah, you got some opportunity here. You might as well take advantage of it, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, and I know from my experience too, where I've had Australians or New Zealanders hiring me, same exact thing. They say, we can't do any of this stuff where we are. And a lot of them are complaining about their three different mortgages on their same property, right? And how they all have different terms. And they're like, it's so dumb. Like, lending's horrible. And you can't make the cash flow that you need. They can't really get financially free easily using their system, right? So, right.
Yeah. They talk a lot about negatively geared stuff, if you've ever talked about that on this show. And that's just where you offset your annual income with the losses you've made in a real estate investment. And that sort of seems dumb to me.
Yeah, exactly. Awesome. Well, I know that you have your own, you know, investors that invest in your investments too, and things like that. Like, if people want to follow you or get to know you better, I know you've got your show, Investing in the US, they can follow that podcast.
Yep.
But if they want to like know more about you or even the investments you have, where can they go to find that?
So if you want to know more about the investments, head over to the business side, which is the Wildhorn Capital, but it's wildhorncap.com. And you'll be able to see, you know, our mission statements, our business side. That's for the investing side. If you want the education side, you can head to reedgoosens.com, and that's where the podcast and the books and the audiobooks and all that sort of good stuff is. And you know, and for those people, you know, I'll offer whoever coming through LA, whenever you get back on a plane, if you ever want to meet up and have a beer or talk shop, you can hit me up at info, that's INFO at reedgoosens.com, and we can go make it happen.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot to mention, you do have some books that you have there, right? Investing in the US is one of them. And then was it 10,000 miles to the American dream? Is that what it was?
Yeah, that's it.
Awesome.
That's it.
And they're available in audiobook as well?
So the first one is, the second one is 10,000 miles is coming up soon, but both of them are on Amazon and readily available online.
Awesome. That's great. I love when they're audiobooks. I don't read books hardly anymore. It's now just all audiobook. So.
Isn't it, right?
Yep. Love it. Well, Reed, I appreciate you being on our show today. Such great, valuable perspective that you have, and just like all around, as you say, a good bloke, right?
So. Well, thank you, Chris, for having me on the show. It's, I think that the parting words is, you know, my whole shtick is if an Aussie can do it, so can the average American. So I hope I've inspired a couple of your listeners to get off the fence and take some action.
Amen to that. And everybody, you heard him. Like, that's the key, is be willing to invest in yourself and be willing to take action on that. Even if it's just small incremental steps, just do something to move forward. Don't just be a listener of podcasts, but be a doer as well. So everybody, I hope you make it a wonderful and prosperous week. Take this to heart, apply it in your lives, make it change your life so that your life can be a blessing in the lives of others too. You'll make a great day, guys. We'll see you later.
Hey! Visit us online at moneyripples.com for more resources to help you fix money leaks and get your money working harder for you now.